Hello and welcome to this guided meditation. It is a meditation of the breath and of the imagination. And the good news is there is no way to do it wrong. I invite you to make it completely yours, to allow your imagination to take you where you need to go today. And even to redirect the wording, that the guidance that I give if it's not fitting where you need to go. And then also a note about gracious imagining. Really the only rule is there's no self-judgment. We set self-judgment aside because that is not of Christ. Christ is not going to condemn you. There is no condemnation in Christ. And there is grace sufficient for all our need. And so whatever condemnation you hear, it is really, really a voice of your past or an authority figure, or really more likely self-judgment using that voice. So just know that, and it's time to shut that voice up. So let's begin with some music. I invite you to center yourself and to place both feet on the floor in front of you so that you feel grounded, your weight evenly distributed with the floor, the chair. You feel solid, grounded, and resting. And sit up tall, or if you're lying down, stretch tall, where your abdomen can expand with each breath. That's where we will be breathing, in the abdomen. Begin by taking a deep breath to the count of five. In for five, and hold it, and out for five, getting control of our breath and thinking, focusing on our breath. In for five, hold it, and out for five, and hold it. Roll your shoulders up and back. Get even more space to breathe. In for five. And out for five. Each breath you are inhaling the Holy Spirit. Picture the Spirit coming into your lungs and breathing out all worries and concern. And the Spirit is life. Out with anything that you hold or that holds you. Hear these words from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. He says, "My people have changed their glory for something that does not profit." "Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. I'm going to read it again. Listen to what sticks out to you. My people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the living water, and they've dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. And a third time, my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. They have dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Last week we visited the fount of the Lord. It poured over us like a waterfall, cleansing, renewing. One of the temptations at the fount was to store up water for the road in a jar or a bottle, to store up grace for when we need it. This week, we walk a bit further down that same path alongside Jesus. You've left the waterfall of God's grace, and together you are headed to the cistern that you have dug. Being in Jesus' presence on this path feels entirely safe. There's nothing to fear. There's nothing to be ashamed of. For Jesus' love surrounds you. Picture the day as you proceed from the waterfall, where you experience Jesus' fount of grace and love. As the two of you walk, listen to the crunch of your footsteps on the path. Hear the birds. Feel the sun on your skin. You had dug a cistern. You had thought that this was the way. But somehow you could store up God's grace for the duration. Does the cistern have a name? What might you name it? As you think of your cistern, how have you grasped control rather than depending on God's daily supply of grace? What do you need to tell Jesus before you get to the cistern you dug, if anything? What is his response? As you crest a hill, you see the cistern below. It is cracked and leaking. It failed to serve the purpose you had planned for it to accomplish. What are your feelings as you look upon the cistern with Jesus? Say to Jesus, as you, the two of you stand looking at the worn down, leaking cistern. Jesus isn't surprised by the cistern. His face doesn't look harsh or judging. Yes, do you want to take a drink of the water? Compared to the fount last week, how does this water taste? Jesus say to you about the dilapidated cistern? In the cistern is a broken mirror. Jesus picks up a large piece and requotes the prophet, as my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. As you look into the mirror, how have you given your glory away for something that doesn't profit? Jesus pulls the mirror away and is looking into your eyes, pouring out love. Reflected there in his eyes, your glory has returned. He reminds you, come to me. You will see yourself as I do. In the glory and fullness of your human life, the Spirit overflowing. How beautiful. How beautiful you are. You notice that something died in that cistern. You and Jesus look at one another with knowing glances. How do you want to remember this cistern and what has died here? What do you need to do to grieve this loss? What do you want to do with or about the cistern now? You and he pray this prayer of next steps together. God of the present, future, and past. Omnipotent and omnipresent God, thank you for your gracious presence. Forgive me for hoarding and trying to control your grace, trying to ensure that I have enough when I might need it. Forgive me for depending on myself instead of you, and for trading away my glory. I fall upon your grace, Lord. I trust you with the giving of it. For you alone are gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in steadfast love, even for me. Keep me mindful of you, Lord. Amen.